There you go. A little upbeat music from Mike Touché.
Yeah, a little Calypso. Is that what that is? Calypso?
Yeah, it's from Beetlejuice.
Yeah, and right? But it's also, what's his name? Famous Calypso singer.
Harry Belafonte.
Yes, thank you very much.
Right. Jump the line.
Jump the line. There it is. Right.
Mike Touché always complaining that we don't have enough positive music for him.
Yeah.
he is in studio every Wednesday night with us from the Daily Line. He covers all things Chicago, county politics, state politics today. That's where we're going to focus to start a big press conference from this morning that really everyone thought, hey, this could be where city treasurer jumps into the race. Kurt Summers has been rumored. This could be it.
Boom. Wham. Nope. It didn't happen.
So he called a press conference to essentially
say,
well,
thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm endorsing J.B. Pritzker. Here he is, everybody. And J.B. Pritzker came up and said, thank you very much for the endorsement.
So it served as an endorsement for it. Was really a J.B. Pritzker.
It was a J.B. Pritzker announcement. And, you know, what's interesting is that Kurt Summers, actually, if you look at his campaign finance reports, which just came out for the last quarter, he spent about $30,000 on polling in the last month or so. So he's been out there, and he's been giving money to some statewide Democrat organizations. So I think he actually did take a hard look at whether
or not he was
gonna run.
Do you think he looked at it and he didn't like the way the numbers stacked up? I mean, is there a chance that it just didn't look good for Kurt Summers?
I am pretty sure that Kurt Summers' name ID outside of the city of Chicago was close to zero.
Maybe even inside the city of Chicago, too.
Well, right? You know, right.
He's relatively new.
He's well known in the African American community. And about 4 or 5 months ago, when we did a story at the Daily Line where we talked to all kinds of, you know, low, mid-level political leaders in the city, you know, who do you think is somebody that's a rising politician? Kurt Summers' name came up again and again when you're talking to black leaders. So people know who he is. Mm-hmm. People know what he's about. But I think he's not really well-known outside of the black community in Chicago. And that is a major hurdle when you're running against a couple of guys that got a ton of money.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because Marilyn Katz was in here not too long ago, and she said, you know, as someone who's a political operative and she's been an analyst and worked on campaigns,
right,
you cannot win on the Democratic side without the African-American vote in Chicago.
That's absolutely
true. This is not possible.
Absolutely true.
That is going to be a coveted vote.
Yeah.
Because most of the candidates here, even with all the money they throw, they're going to need that base to come out. But who's got the who? I mean, this is a big thing for J.B. Pritzker, but does J.B. Pritzker, Chris Kennedy, Daniel Biss, Amaya Pewar, do they have any sort of roots or connection to the African-American community here?
No. I mean, and I think that, you know, whereas maybe 15 years ago you could count on a number of leaders, you know, maybe some pastors, maybe some business leaders that could help move some of the black vote in Chicago, that is so not the case now. I mean, there is an incredible schism in black politics today, really coming out of the younger organizers. And they've been really questioning a lot of the leaders in the African-American community. You know, what's going on? Everything's still the same. Nothing's changed. And I think the Laquan McDonald episode really just showed all of these fissures and brought them all just completely to the front. Because there are a lot of black activists that are saying, so where were you, pastors? Why weren't you doing something about this? And then all the black aldermen that then voted for the settlement in order to scrape this under the carpet, there's some big, big stuff that's going on. So in order to say that somebody's going to be able to pull black vote one way or the other is an absolute fallacy.
Well, I mean, if you're running for governor in the state of Illinois and you know the numbers and you know that you have to appeal to the African-American community here in Chicago, how do you do that in 2017? Right now it seems I've read a couple of articles where Chris Kennedy has a leg up because of name recognition, because people know
that's real.
Robert Kennedy and
that's
and
real.
Bob, yeah, I mean, there's something there. I mean,
yeah.
Is it based on name recognition or at
a
this point,
bit.
Can you dig in and say, I'm listening, I'm in your community, I want to know more, let me be your governor?
I think minority communities in Chicago, the issue is authenticity. You know, I think that there was one of the problems that Chuy Garcia had was he had authenticity within the Latino community, but in the African-American community, who are you? Where you been? You know, we don't really know who you are. And where you been? What have you been doing for us? And I think that that is something that continues to be an issue. And it's going to be a problem for a guy like J.B. Pritzker. It's going to be a problem for Chris Kennedy. It's going to be a problem for all of these other candidates because they haven't necessarily been spending time doing things, building relationships in these communities.
There's a last night we had Thomas Frank on, and he was talking about whatever happened to the party of the people. And he talked about how Democrats and the Democrats have moved away from being the voice for working class or people in poverty or people of color. And they moved to the creative class. They are now, you saw this right. with the Hillary Clinton campaign and the idea that they'd much rather be involved with 1871 and the tech sector in Chicago than right. than helping poor people on the south side right. of Chicago. We had that conversation. It was a national conversation. It wasn't necessarily about Chicago or right. the governor of Illinois.
Right.
Yet I feel like there might be some truth in thinking about who's running for governor totally. On the Democratic side. So if you are in South Shore, if you are a voter in Inglewood or other places on the south side of Chicago, I don't know if these Democratic, who you usually vote with, these Democratic candidates appeal to you.
I think that's very real. And I think it's a serious problem that pretty much any candidate running for governor is going to have Democrat or Republican. I mean, there was certainly a certain amount of discontentment with Pat Quinn in the black community because black voters would say, you know, what are you doing for me? And a lot of black voters didn't show up in the general election because mm-hmm. Pat Quinn wasn't necessarily telling a compelling story about why it is that he's been fighting for development and opportunity in the black community. I think it's so real.
So what do you, I mean, is it, with that being said, does it open up the door for a candidate that we have not, I mean, that's why there was so much talk around Kurt Summers. Is it open up the door for another candidate, a downstate a candidate in this in Chicago, a candidate of color, to sort of come in and play the underdog role?
Well, you know, an interesting thing about Bernie Sanders in Chicago is that Bernie Sanders actually attracted a lot of minority voters in Chicago. And part of that is because of his economic opportunity message and the message of, look, you have been neglected. Nobody's really been out there fighting for you. We need to actually start working on generating jobs and all this other stuff. And that was heard from Bernie by black voters and Latin American voters in Chicago. And I think that, you know, if somebody is able to have that message when they're running for governor, and I think that's what Poir is counting on to some degree. You know, he's hoping to catch fire like Bernie Sanders did. But, you know, he's going to have a real issue trying to be able to get his message out because it costs money, and he's going to be overwhelmed by this other two dudes.
You said it early on. It was a very thoughtful approach. This is not the national election.
No,
you count on commercials because at the last minute you're like, oh, governor's on Tuesday.
Right.
Who am I going to vote for? And right. you watch whatever's on. I mean, it's a different kind of election
right.
than.
Well, and the other thing is that when you're running for president, there are these TV networks that are blasting out your message all the time. They're showing your face and, you know, all this other stuff. And so that's what Trump did. He got a lot of free advertising from all the TV networks that were talking about him. You don't really have that in a statewide campaign. There's no Illinois channel that everybody, well, I think there is an Illinois channel and I don't really think a lot of people watch it, but you know, there's no like Illinois cable news network.
Yeah.
So that's going to be hard.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line in studio. We're talking about all things politics as we do every Wednesday
yeah.
here on the Download. When we come back, let's talk about the CPS continuing fight over funding. Today was a board meeting, Chicago Board of Education met. Let's talk about, you know, whether or not this is real, the idea that they may end school a couple weeks early.
Yeah.
Mike Fouché, The Daily Line in studio. Stay with us. You like this one?
I like this. I like this.
Mike Fouché from
Thank
The Daily
you.
Line
Thank
in
you,
studio.
Pete.
He's getting some good music bumps tonight. That's Beats by Zim.
Mm.
All right, so let's talk about this. Chicago Public Schools, you know, there was protests in front of the Board of Education meeting today. Essentially, this idea that has been floated that CPS could close school weeks early because of a funding crisis.
Right. Not going to happen.
You don't think that's going to happen?
Never. Here's the thing. There is a small, small minority of people that are of means, mostly white, that send their kids to CPS. And that is like the foothold that CPS has to turning it back into a citywide public education system. And they're slowly getting back there. The gains that they've made in the last 15, 20 years have been significant. If they lose those people, CPS will turn into just a minority serving poor people operation. If CPS closes 3 weeks early, everybody who is of means and has an opportunity to send their kid to a private school rather than a public school or to move to the suburbs
will.
And it will be devastating, and it will be of consequence for decades.
Mike, I mean, this is a political fight, and it's a game of chicken that's been played for months. We talked about it week to week. I mean, what are the stakes then for Mayor Emanuel and Governor Rauner? I mean, Emanuel can't have that happen.
Nope.
But yet he's playing with it, so whether it's through the back channels or what.
The longer the wait is, the better it is for Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner wants to make Chicago pay for as much as possible. That's really what he wants to do. He believes that state government has been carrying Chicago for too long and that Chicago should be able to pay all of its own bills so that the state can tax less. And
which is fair.
Which is fair. I mean, you can make that argument. And so if we get to a point where it's almost June 1st, Rahm Emanuel is going to have to knuckle under if there is no state plan in order to pick up that
Now, check. Some protests today, some aldermen, Alderman Cardenas, Alderman Ramirez Rosa, others talking about, we have the money. Whether it be in TIFs or whether it be
City
in
has
corporate
money.
Taxes, the money is there to fund the schools. Let's stop playing chicken. Forget about it. Pay up now so we can stop this insanity.
Yeah, the city has the money. The city has a rainy day fund of $650 million to begin with. There are TIF money that the city could liquidate some things in order to come up with some TIF money. It could create a head tax for a small amount of money. There's a whole series of things, and they could just do it, 2 days before.
What's standing in the way of them doing that? Precedent.
They don't want to. Rahm Emanuel doesn't want to set the precedent. As soon as Chicago starts paying for all or more of the public school system, then the city's never going to stop doing that, and the state is never going to pick up the check again.
Now, to be fair, I mean, on the other side, we see State Senate President John Cullerton talking about passing a spending plan, a balanced or a spending plan, if you will,
right.
For social service agencies and
right.
universities. He almost on a complete 180, his point saying the state has the money. It's sitting in a bank account. It can't be used for anything else. Let's stop starving agencies and universities.
Right.
Let's do our job and at least send it to Governor Rauner, who
right.
does not agree.
There's that, and there's also federal matching funds for a lot of different projects. A lot of transit money for Federal Highway Administration matching funds isn't being given to Illinois because Illinois hasn't passed a budget. And that's absolutely the case. Rauner, I think he is very much of the idea that it seems to me, I'm not going to say I know his mind, but at this point, it seems to me that he is of the thinking that you have to take a number of lumps before you're going to be able to make
it.
The change.
You got to break it to change it.
You got to break it to fix it.
And you hear that a lot.
He's the drill sergeant of Illinois politics.
Can you see the delicious irony of what he's forcing the city of Chicago to do with schools is similar to what he's doing
Absolutely.
In the state of Illinois? I mean, I don't understand that the political game of chicken that we continue to play here in Illinois,
it's
so nuanced and
worse.
It's on both sides.
And bond agencies just made a whole bunch of state universities into junk status, which means that it's going to be very difficult for them to borrow money, very difficult for them to continue operating at the levels that they have. Pretty much every state university, with the exception of maybe Champaign and SIU, which are much larger than most of the state universities, are in a state of collapse.
Can I just ask the question? We saw with the Trump tax reform stuff today. He has a very clear approach to how he wants to tax less and the government to be smaller.
Right.
Why can't that be the same sort of ideology that we see in Springfield? Why does it have to be everything needs to be broke before we fix it? Why can't Governor Rauner just come up and say, I'm going to cut the taxes. This is what it is.
Yeah.
Balance this budget. See you guys next year.
I think that Rauner believes, and he said something similar to this, that the Democrats and all kinds of other interests, whether it be social services, whether it be the universities, whatever, have such a tight grip on the politics of Springfield that you have to be able to shatter all of it before you're going to be able to remake it. It's almost like he's breaking a union. I mean, to use a certain kind of thinking. Yeah. You know, that he believes that all these organizations have run the table for too long, and the only way to really be able to demonstrate to them is close the gates of the factory, let everybody starve until they come crawling back and say, I'll take whatever you give me.
At this point, and this, I mean, this boggles the mind, but at this point, if there is a compromise and a budget gets passed in the old political way, is it a loss for Governor Rauner?
Yeah, I think so, because then he loses all the different things that he's been fighting for all this time.
So it's almost advantageous for him to keep this fight going.
I think it's an absolute guarantee that Bruce Rauner will not allow a budget to pass unless he gets the things that he wants from his turnaround agenda. And so I don't think that's going to happen. And I think it's very likely we're not going to see a budget before the 2018 election. That's a long time. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to suffer in the meantime because of it. But Bruce Rauner and his base believes that this is the only way that you're going to make Illinois into a state that has a reasonable budget and doesn't overtax.
Always love the conversations, Mike. I mean, it's thoughtful. You know, I mean, it really is.
That's why I want the happy music to start with.
But it's not bombastic. We're not sort of saying one thing declarative. I mean, the idea of having a thoughtful conversation about what's at stake and what's at play and how the politics are playing out, I think that's all we can do right now.
You know,
Chicago,
I mean, he was elected governor, and there's a group of people that really believe that, you know, he's doing right. So that's what we're doing.
Well, there you go. Mike Fouché, Daily Line. He joins us every Wednesday. Aldercast is the podcast here at WPS.
Yeah, listen to our podcast, the Aldercast. Find it on iTunes.
Every Wednesday here on The Download. Thanks,
Mike. Great to be here.